Blog Talk Radio.
The music will be first.
Hello.
Greetings, Hammer.
From beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
John's and at a conference, John.
Oh, really? How hot is it there?
Hot. And it's just cooling off, 94 now. It was 108 today, or 105, it's crazy. But I came out of Los Angeles, and it was 103, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I like to see triple digits at midnight. You know, there's something about that where it's like it's over 100 and it won't go below it, and it's like one
yeah.
in the morning.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy because the Earth doesn't get a chance to cool down, and the next day is all crazy.
It's kind of like
but
hell.
No, it almost is. And I can't say I apologize because I didn't even think I could have probably met you, John. We were down in Orange County, and we were everywhere, Santa Monica and downtown, but we were basically in Orange County and San Bernardino County.
Nice.
By the way,
well, you probably had a very busy day, very, very busy weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like if you went all the way from Reno to L.A. back to Vegas, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, well, I've still got to go back to Reno, but I'll be down here for at least 2 days.
Yeah, I wanted to start the show with a brief commemoration for Julian Bond. Don saw him 3 weeks ago at the Philadelphia NAACP convention, and he was one of the first lunch counter sit-in people in Georgia, and he became the leader of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and then he went on, of course, to be leader of the NAACP and also a Southern legislature and a congressman. So, Don, why don't you share a few words of your last exchange with him in person?
Well, we were at the convention in Philadelphia. For the most part, he was very busy speaking with everyone like he normally is. He always has an entourage with him. But he did seem to have security with him, of the guard that was extra attentive. And I noticed that because in years past, the guard is there, but he isn't as concerned with the person, with Julian, as he normally was. But anyway, we had experienced, or said that we experienced him possibly having some kind of Alzheimer's or at least degradation of his mental capacities each year that we saw him, but that was just conjecture on our part. And, he was extra distracted
I forgot
this time.
To mention
and
that he died. John might have not known that.
No, I did. I've gotten
no,
that information.
John might have
from...
not have known that.
Oh, John.
John, he died last night.
Well, actually, my career died a few years ago, and nobody knows it.
Well, no, it didn't, because it's still on BTR.
Right.
Nice. I'm
resurrected.
So anyway,
I have a phone service.
You're resurrected.
If one of us gets disconnected tonight, don't yell Jane on the phone for 5 minutes straight.
Did someone do that?
John did a week ago. Just yell, the sky is falling.
And everyone was hearing, okay.
Yeah, it was Jane for 5 minutes straight. So
wow.
Shows his concern.
I have a couple topic matters, and of course we'll have plenty of time for John to explain what he's doing down there in Vegas. But one of my topics tonight is the Al Jazeera Network, America. It's a hell of a lot better than CNN. Lately, I find CNN really redundant. Anderson Cooper spends 20 minutes on Trump every night. So does Aaron Burnett. And this Al Jazeera network covers talks in South Sudan, a newly formed country, which most people don't even recognize. They have a special TV show on Sunday nights called something like Just Turning 18, and they showed like three high school kids across the country achieving their dreams. One was a Christian minister, one guy going into the ministry and who got a bunch of scholarships and couldn't decide between missionary work and going to college. Another guy was in a military cadet school, and there was another girl who had issues with her family and decided to go to Temple University in her hometown versus leave her family for college. So, I mean, they also interviewed, I told John about this, Johnny Lyman from the Sex Pistols, or Johnny Linden. He was a brilliant person on that show last night. He had so much to say about America and England that was so beyond any politician that I've heard in recent years. So I'm just wondering, CNN seems just too run-of-the-mill for me lately. How do you guys feel about that?
John?
Well, I would say the last time I saw CNN was when they were showing a news clip on the Channel 11 news from CNN. It's not that I don't like it. It's just that working two jobs, I just don't have the time to catch up. But I will say that I think it kind of goes to whoever's funding, you know, the network, you know, like Fox. They're going to kind of lean one way or the other. CNN, from what I understand, isn't that biased. You know, it might be a little towards the left. I could be wrong. But I did have a couple things to bring up, and we don't have to talk about it now. But the question I kind of posed to you, Jane, was that Donald Trump, to me, seems popular just because politicians aren't doing their job. In other words, politicians, you know, they spend their whole life going through the process, assemblyman, you know, maybe a local community leader, mayor, governor, you know, Congress, whatever. They move their way up until they get the clout and the positioning to run for office. And here Donald Trump is like, he's kind of like, you know, the mechanic at the corner, except he's got a lot of money. And he's like, I'll be president. And it's like, are you really qualified? I mean, have you dedicated your life to this thing? It's like, no, he's just a money guy. And the second question, if he got elected popular vote, should the Electoral College vote for him? Or should they actually say, no, we're not going to vote for this guy?
Okay.
Well, that was my question.
It would be interesting if Donald Trump is not endorsed and then he goes independent, because the way that the Electoral College is set up is only for a two-party system where delegates from each state reflect the majority of the state's votes. So that might prove to be complicated. However, being a local candidate myself lately, I noticed that there are party loyalties and political people can be bought and paid for, is what I'm trying to say. So two of the candidates in two different races were endorsed before the closing date of the entry. For example, in the school board race in one district, the DFL, the Democratic Party up here, endorsed somebody before all the candidates even filed. So, John, you're right in a sense that he doesn't have to be politically loyal to anybody because he's rich. But secondly, he's not really part of the status quo either. But he said another thing tonight on the news that upset me. He said that Iran is controlling Iraq now, and we should just go right back into Iraq and take control of those oil fields. Like, it's our right to do so. Like, the only original motive to go in there in the first place was to take over the oil.
I halfway agree with them. I mean, that's kind of why we were there to begin with. I mean, he basically voices what the normal person was thinking, you know, whether right or wrong. I think a lot of people are just tired of rhetoric. They really want someone just to speak their mind, even if it's going to piss everyone off.
Well, what happens when you're done pissing people off? Then what?
You become like Russia or China or North Korea or whatever.
No, I'm just saying, okay.
Iran.
He has to get to the stage in his race where he's just gonna put his concepts forward in a more formal manner with policy objectives. I mean, you can only ruffle people's feathers so far without it just being a lot of punch and no substance. How about you, Don? You seem hanging in the gallows.
Well, that's because I'm hanging in the gallows. For the most part, this is Al Jazeera. Okay, now listen to the name and realize their potential point of view, and you are going to get a little bit better idea of what they are here for. You know, people of all colors are welcome into the Muslim faith, And so there's a desire to educate everyone. But it's primarily more like One America, where there's the preponderance of foreign news.
But John, it's better. It is better than the headline news these days. Now, MSNBC does cover people like Lincoln Chafee and other people, but you know, I'm not saying it's the best and the only good one. I'm just saying that you might think they have an agenda because they are a worldwide news organization that really got going during the Iraq-American War in 2003, but they're stationed in London, the U.S. They're worldwide. I'm not saying they're good because I'm a Muslim sympathizer. I'm saying
No, they are good. I'm not denying that. That I look at Al Jazeera when I'm not looking at Fox News, which is generally the MSNBC, what is the doggone stock
CNBC,
channel?
CNBC,
yeah.
MSNBC, Fox, CNN, and I'm sure there's also like C-SPAN and stuff like that,
but,
and PBS.
No, that's what I look at. I'll look at C-SPAN for Senate and congressional votes, and also look at the CNN for stock report and Bloomberg. So I'm always looking at those. And so CNN and Fox, they have a problem because they report, they do their best reporting under pressure. And right now there's nothing that's pressuring them into doing a good job. This is the middle of elections. This is the middle cycles of finance. July 1st, everywhere, financial books closed. So there's nothing really to report. And this is the time that the big guys take their vacations, and the loopers, they go out and they just do whatever they do to get better. It's a training period. It's almost like preseason. And they'll be back. CNN will be back as strong as ever.
CNN did a good job covering Black Lives Matter, the Baltimore crisis, and all the hairy details of Freddie Gray. But the thing is that MSNBC is doing a better job between Fox, CNN, and those ones covering candidates who are not in the top five. Now, today, Mike Huckabee was on CNN for a while, and he said some pretty radical statements. He said that if a 10-year-old girl gets raped, she should carry out the pregnancy because even though it's a tragedy, she should still have to carry the baby out and not destroy two lives.
And Mike Huckabee is now at the very, very, very bottom of the polls for the Republicans.
And John Cassius from Ohio said that in rape, incest, and one other factor, that abortion should be allowed. They interviewed him too later today.
Well, now you see the superiority complex that the whole world it has to understand and it has to deal with. And right now they're getting ready to fight over it. And so this is going to be an ugly situation, only because the people who have taught the world are being ostracized.
John, what other topic did you want to bring up tonight?
Well, I thought that was rather interesting that the point you brought up, if someone's raped, they should carry it out to term. It's kind of a difficult line. I think, you know, people have a moral principle and they try to take it to extreme level, but if someone's committing a felony on you against your will, I don't think that's the true definition of bringing a child into the planet. You know, I could be wrong on this, Maybe, no, that, you know, stay.
That does kill two people. That's what you don't understand. The girl is going to die inside, and the baby is not going to have any chance of a normal life. A normal life under normal circumstances.
The reason they pose the question that way is because in Paraguay, a 10-year-old was raped, and she delivered the child at age 11 a few months later, like 9 months later, and they were posing the question to Huckabee. Now, in that country, there are no abortions allowed, but in America, would you allow that?
Well, it's an interesting thing. See, I, as a Christian, have, this may be a little messed up, but I have the spiritual and emotional ability to say, you know what, we can have this kid, we'll love it, and, you know, God will work through this and heal and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of people who don't have that kind of restraint. In fact, their first response is to go, you know, neuter that guy, shoot him to death, and blow up the world in anger. And they're half justified in that, you know. So I don't want to force, you know, when he's saying they have to. Now, it's like, okay, if you want to have that baby, fine. But I also understand, and some compassion, you don't want to deal with that. It wasn't your choice. You know, is slave rape okay? Well, that's how a lot of people got here, but I don't think it's cool.
I guess one point I brought up to somebody at lunch today is, if a 10-year-old child, a lot of girls don't even get their period till they're 13. So let's say she was to have an abortion at age 10 or 11. That might ruin her body, too. You know, like
it would.
Her body parts aren't even developed yet. But I know someone in Virginia who had a baby at age 12 and kept it. Because it was my friend. It was her mother who had her at age 12. And then her grandma raised her. But the fact of the matter is that if you're aborting a child at age 10 or 11, you could ruin your body.
Well, I think the idea of preserving the body is kind of shot when someone rapes you at 11.
Well, you don't want to screw up your inner organs. You
know, well, I'll put it
either way,
it's not a safe thing to have a baby. I can tell you physically, you're not ready for that. You know, maybe a couple of years later, but you know, there's all kinds of processes involved just pushing the baby out that an 11-year-old kid is not prepared for.
Well, also, I was thinking if a kid has a baby at 10, maybe the emotional damage is less than someone who gets raped at 14, because the kid doesn't even know what the hell's going on at 10.
They know what's going on. They just know that they can't do anything about it.
Well, they haven't even developed anger towards men yet, for the most part, unless they were molested from age 7.
Well, you...
If they hadn't begun the anger, they certainly will perfect it by the time they have that kid. But after about 20 years of raising it, you figure by the time that girl is 30, she will have spent more of her life being a parent than being, you know, a kid. That's crazy stuff.
Well, my friend Patty said if she keeps the baby, it's going to be a reminder her whole life of how she had that child.
It's not just
I just feel if someone does a heinous crime against you, you shouldn't have to live with that the rest of your life. Like, okay, they, you know, held you at gunpoint and took the deed to your house and all your money. So now you have to live the rest of your life in that house and be their servant. You know, I can't agree with that on principle.
Okay, well, I have a question. I know somebody in my home state who had a child, and then she slept with a guy who was a player. And she found out later that he was he had been arrested before for one time for sleeping with a vulnerable adult and another time for, I don't think it was rape. It was something like rape. And then she got pregnant by him and she decided to abort the child. Do you think she did the right thing?
I think you have to define somewhat raped? Like, you have to, first of all, like, what was the exact circumstance? Rape is like you forcibly, you know, take charge of the other person against their will. Then there's date rape, where you're going out as friends, and then, you know, there's kind of a blurred line between who consented. And then there's just being a dumbass. Was she a dumbass? Or someone who got played?
Well, I think she got played, but then I know the person it happened to, and then one of her other friends told me that he had 7 kids spread out through the state, and he had slept with a vulnerable adult.
How old was the woman that he had sex with? Or in other words, unless you're 10 years old, if you're 18 or 19, you've already heard a million stories from your parents.
She was 43, I think.
Well, then, you know, it's hard.
As long as the baby didn't come to term that they have for abortions, and these people are consenting adults, what the heck is legal? What is the jingoism? What are the...
I guess the issue was that, in the end, my friend told me that she aborted the child because she thought, if this guy's got 7 kids, why should she bring an 8th one in?
No problem. Next question. No, the lady did what she thought was right for her and him and the situation. She did it under legal
right.
auspices.
So that's one reason, as a Christian, I think abortion should remain legal, is because a lot of women are in situations. I'll just give you an example. This is probably a bad example, though. When I lived over by USC, I had to live in a shelter a while because Joan got married, and I came back to L.A., and I didn't have a place to stay. Well, there was a girl from Belize. She had 2 kids in the shelter, and she got pregnant while she was in the shelter, just with a fly-by-night lover. She decided to keep the baby because she didn't believe in abortion, but a lot of women can't afford another kid, and the man abandons them. That's not a reason to have an abortion, but it's the reality of the situation.
Okay.
John, didn't we cover this the other night?
Yeah. Oh, I think we all did.
Yeah, so let's move on to another topic. So I'm not sure...
If a woman's over 18 or whatever, you know, the consensual age is, she should just be careful when she opens her legs what goes inside it. You know, you have to be careful. You have to be responsible for what you put in your body. And
especially
if
you're 43.
And if you make a bad choice, you know, I mean, there is faith involved in every situation. You could be a murderer right now. I wouldn't know it. I'm just go by the logical information that you both are both, you know, moral people. I might be a very immoral person. You only can do the best you can, but when you meet someone on a couple of dates and go, I think he's okay, well, have you met their family? Do you know their friends? You shouldn't have sex with people until you've known them, you know, to me, I think several months, or you're willing to have a family and be married. And to that process, you're going to know if they're a pretty decent person most of the time. Most of these are just casual encounters of people not doing their research, and they get stuck with a bad deal.
Yeah, I think from what I heard from the third party, this guy was a smooth talker. He was very good looking, and the 43-year-old was in a bad situation at the time. So she did get scammed. But on the other hand, people should be more... They should know what the signs are in a situation like that. You know, I don't know.
I don't know any 43-year-old of right mind who would get scammed. This lady wanted it. The lady loved it. The lady got pregnant. And just, you know, get over it. Get to the next top.
Well, I was just trying to bring up a scenario when you sleep with someone, you don't, like John said, you don't really know their background, and then you find out later what they're really like. I mean, nobody wants to be in that situation. Just like Jan, that Dixon model didn't want to be raped by Bill Cosby. I mean, a lot of bad shit goes down when you're in the wrong place. So
exactly,
that's
and that's life. That's life.
They should stay on the straight and narrow as long as they can.
Well, no, or go back to like where we were in the 60s and 70s, where it was just free love and everybody was doing it. There were no questions asked. That's the way it's, you know, that's the way
well,
life
you're right,
is.
It was more liberal in those days. Now, I'm not sure the time frame, like if this person slept with someone in the 90s or whatever, I don't know what the time frame was. It was a secondhand story.
Okay. But, yeah, and you were asking about the Russians and the Iranians and also...
Oh, I changed the topic, sorry.
That's all right.
But
whatever.
What were you
going
to say? The average Russian woman has 6 abortions in their lifetime? Because that used to be the case.
No, who said that?
I read it in an article.
The average Russian woman has 6 abortions in their lifetime.
Yep, I read it in the 90s, actually, and it was in an actual article.
And who was the person who wrote the article an actual person?
No, it was an internet global dummy.
Honey, do you realize how many people that Russia wouldn't have anybody in there anymore?
Okay, I'm looking it up on the internet. Average abortions in Russia... per woman.
There you go. So what do you say, John?
In the meantime, John can tell us about the values of abstinence.
Bam.
John, did you hang up on my ass?
No, I was being asked a very technical question, and unfortunately I had to split my brain. I'm not really good at split conversations, but go ahead, re-throw it at me.
Okay, can I read something, you guys? In 1936, the Soviet Union made abortion illegal again, stemming largely from Joseph Stalin's worries about population growth. The law that outlawed abortion did not only do it for that, but rather contained several different decrees. Okay, now I'm getting down to the 90s, just a minute. During the 2000s, Russia's steadily falling population became a major source of concern. On October 21st, 2011, the Russian parliament passed a law restricting abortion to the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, with an exception of 22 weeks if the pregnancy was a result of rape or medical problems. So anyways, I think it was in the 90s that women had... Okay, here we go. Just a second. The decline... Oh, shit. I keep looking at decline, decline, decline. Okay, in Russia at the beginning of the 1990s, no more than 75% of sexually active women used preventative birth control of any kind. No more than? While such sources became available because of the fall of the Soviet Union, by 1993, less than half of Russian women felt like they had adequate access to birth control. Well, I know I read it, Don. I just can't remember.
Honey,
between
that
1990
number...
and 2000, the number of annual abortions in Russia declined.
Well, they had to decline from some number, so they could have conceivably declined from every Russian woman having 6 abortions. But that number is absolutely outrageous.
Okay,
because 2005, women won't get pregnant 6 times in their lifetime.
Okay, in 2005, 1.6 million abortions were registered in Russia. 20% involved girls under 18. By 2011, it fell to 990,000. In 2010, the abortion rate was 37 per 1,000 women between age 15 to 44. So what is that statistic? 37 abortions for 1,000 women.
Basically, it's saying that those people are choosing abortion as a method of birth control. They're not thinking this through. And by the way, it doesn't mean they're bad people or even stupid people. It's very easy to happen. It's something almost, I don't know if it's culturally, but you have to start from the beginning. It's like, if you hook up with someone, you're gonna get pregnant. And I don't know, how do you teach people responsibility? It happens to people. I mean, responsible people get pregnant all the time, too. So it's a tough... I think the issue is that we're born to create. We're born... This is like you're fighting your wiring of everything you're supposed to do. So how do you tell an orange tree not to have oranges? That's what it does. I think the bigger issue is the morality of the culture. Are we going to support someone having a baby? If not, then yeah, have an abortion. Myself, I say don't do it. We'll support you through the process. But our culture isn't like that. We're anti-life. That's just how we are.
We are, because our economy is set up now for everybody has to work, whether you're a mom or not. And by the way, I found the statistic that I found that was coherent with what I was saying was from the 1950s to the 1960s, there were 7 million abortions in Russia. And then the average woman only had one child, 41% only had one child, and 32% had two children. And John's right, the government should take into perspective the future. And that's why I think part of the social safety net, whether it's Russia or U.S., there should always be $500 available per month for women who want to stay on social service. Now, if they want two or three kids, that's another thing, but the first kid should be paid for.
Well, how about free birth control for all of them? If they want to be on the pill, and if they don't, then the abortion's on them.
You guys are completely forgetting the... Just completely forgetting the reason that we're here on Earth. We're here on Earth to propagate. And that's and so that's the only reason we're here. To continue this is nature. This doesn't have this is God's word, but this is Mother Nature. And that's just the way we're set up. So the way
it's not that kind of world anymore. You can also be on Earth to do good for others. You can feed the poor. You can become a missionary. You don't have to have kids.
No, you don't have to have kids. But the Catholic Church, that the men and men and the clergy in the Catholic Church, didn't have to be celibate by God's word. They did that to themselves. They made sure that they didn't have a welfare state with children who didn't have care of their fathers. That's the only reason that the Catholic Church has that principle.
The Catholic Church mandates celibate. No abortions, but look at the Russian government. They kept pulling the plug on women every time they wanted the population to grow. So that was government control over the population, but the Catholic Church... At least they're standing by their words for the right reasons. They believe in the sacrament.
That's not the right reason. They destroyed mankind. They're destroying mankind. A man is not supposed to be celibate or without the capability of having the opportunity to have children. That is not natural. And think about it. It's not natural for a man to keep his penis and his sperm to himself all of his life.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Now we're talking truth.
That's the stupidest shit I ever heard of. But I don't say it because
John, you didn't let me finish.
People are too stupid. You don't need to finish, Dave. I just finished it. Go ahead.
You just freed Willie there. Actually, that's the whole thing is, like, if you have a penis and you got sperm, what's the purpose of it, right? It's like, it's nuts and bolts. You got a gun, it's meant to be shot.
Pot, kettle, black. John, I'm going to mute Don for 30 seconds. John, the Catholic Church, what they said is that people on death row should not be murdered. And babies should not be aborted. It's their sanctity of life ruling. It has nothing to do with priests porking other women.
Yeah, but they're taking an extreme view. They're taking an extreme view. It's like they're saying you shouldn't kill. It's like, no, no, you can kill. There's times where God says go and kill. You know, if someone's trying to, you know, murder you, you kill them. You know, if you have a bug or an animal that's wild, you kill them. You take them down. You know, it's okay. But I think they take it to such an extreme that, you know, you can't murder someone on death row. It's like, yeah, you can. It's real easy. Just hit the switch. But as far as abortion, like I said, I wouldn't vote for it. I wouldn't legalize it. But the states have done that. And if people, if they're not going to be responsible enough to raise the kid, then maybe we're better off they don't, you know, have the kid. I don't know.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is in America, Don and John, a woman's on her own nowadays. Now, I happen to live in California and Minnesota, which were two of the best welfare states. But if I move to Wisconsin, all I can get is food stamps and child care. You can't get cash aid and you can't get health. Don, are you mad at me?
For what?
Don's not mad at you. He's got 6 kids and 20 grandchildren. Why should he be mad at you?
I have no idea what she's talking about. I mean, why would I be mad at you?
Because
about,
you act like in this case, you know, we may not. Know
I didn't even have a chance. I didn't even have a chance on this discussion because I got muted on the Pope's having kids.
You can be the president. I will be the Pope. You can be the side effect. I'd rather be the dope. Guess who sang that?
Bob Dylan.
Prince. You can be the president. I will be the Pope. You will be the side effect. I will be the dope.
I thought it was extreme.
No, it was Prince.
Oh, okay.
So
is Prince Jewish?
No, he's half Latino and half black.
Isn't he a Jehovah's Witness?
Since we're talking about rock stars,
he's in the Jehovah's Witness relocation program with Michael Jackson.
How do you say the name of the Sex Pistols lead guy who wrote God Save the Queen? Is it Johnny Lyman or Johnny Lyndon?
I would think Lyndon, but...
Well, anyways, he said, don't vote for a billionaire. You'll be sorry, America. Do you guys agree with that statement?
Yes.
You do agree with it, Don?
Yes.
Well, Donald Trump is a billionaire. So you said you were going to start a group called Democrats for Donald Trump.
I am, but that's only because he's going to open the race up so wide that any Democrat can run because Hillary's going to be in jail. So any Democrat will be able to run and win against Donald Trump. That's why. This is a plan B.
Well, you want to hear something else interesting that he said? Now, I want to know if this is the really thing that I want you to, I want to know if you agree with it. He said that Barack Obama, his name's John Lydon, Lydon. He said Barack Obama's presidency opened the door to uncover all the racism in this country, and that's why all this shit is hitting the fan with Black Lives Matter.
Beautiful quote.
Do you agree with that? Do you think it's true?
Beautiful quote, because for the most part, the only reason we're here is because of the party of no. And the party of no came out the first day and said, we will not do anything this black man said. And they haven't. For 8 years, 7 years, the party of no has said no. And that's a good thing, because at least they kept their word.
And you know, for a while they called the Republicans the party of no, because They were saying no to everything.
That is the part. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm not on my A game tonight.
Believe me.
John,
I know.
This is I want to phrase it correctly, though. He basically said that by Barack Obama, you know, upsetting the routine and becoming president, racism was always on the surface, but never really, you know, like in a breakthrough mode. But because all this police brutality simultaneously came up, which you can blame it on poor police training or whatever, it's really at the heart of the matter is the fact that police are using irrational judgment to kill people on the spot, black or white, whatever color they're doing it. But even though I'm not pleased with the way Barack Obama handled all these situations, I'm pleased with Johnny Lyman's statement because I think he hit on something, that there was some kind of watershed or threshold because of that presidency. John Yoder, what do you say?
Well, what I say is that, yes, police are out of control using excessive force to the extreme measure on minorities, specifically African-American people, that are breaking the law and acting like dumbasses. So I'm kind of torn. It's like, yeah, they shouldn't kill these people, but these aren't like Boy Scouts. They're not in church Bible study. They're breaking into places. They're doing, most of the time, or they're in a situation that looks very dangerous to the cops. They're trying to police me, you know, protect me. And they're, you know, they're acting stupid. Now, should they be shot and killed for being stupid? Probably not. But it's hard for me to gather sympathy for them when they're acting stupid. And provoking the cop to want to shoot them, too.
But that's fine. The African-American males who are getting shot are probably doing something that is a little bit...
Shady, unlawful, questionable.
Yeah. Thank you. However, that does not give one person, usually a white man with a gun and a badge and a uniform, the right to shoot and kill an unarmed other person. That does not. That's what the problem is. Is that these things happen every day? Is that these people, even though they're coming out of my house with a, you know, bag full of jewelry, they do not deserve to be shot and killed on the spot if they don't possess any kind of threatening situation, gestures, or firearms, weapons, things like that. If they're not going to do that, there's no reason for a cop to shoot somebody in the heart. You can shoot them in the leg, you can shoot them in the arm, you can shoot them in, you know, in the buttocks.
Right. Could this be considered the white man's abortion at 20-year term?
Correct. Very, very well put. And that's that's what they're doing. You know, there had, until the black president, there had been no thought of the black man being a whole human being. Now there's actually thought that that blacks are human beings. And that's the thing. That three-fifths of a human being never died. That concept never died in the minds of, I would have to say almost 50%, a majority of our populace, and those are the ones who are bleeding red. And they have no leader, they have no purpose, because for the most part, they're being led by maybe a devious entity, and they're lost. They're simply lost. And they lead, so if there are leaders and they're lost, where do we expect to be? And I'm talking about we as a populace, not just any one discerning race or culture. But right now, we're lost. We're walking out with most
America?
Of in the desert. America's lost. There's no respect. We just have been discussing this. There's been no respect for the president. Our foreign policy is in the shitter, and we have we've lost reins of our financial policy because it's only going into 1% of the hands. 1% of the people in the United States are control 83% of our wealth, and that's huge. That's huge for then six families of control. I believe 93% of that 1%.
Well, something I talked to Jane about last time when you were on the show, and that is that the majority of American business is corporate. So really, you have a board members of 10 to 15 people. Basically, 1% of the company is making the money decisions, and they're not making decisions based on any ethics outside of greed. So it literally, you have all these people working in a quote-unquote democratic society for democratic ideas, but they're being ruled by people in an undemocratic way. The people have no say in what's happening. You show up at Walmart and you do what Walmart tells you to do. And that goes across the board to almost any company you work for. And all the years, 100 years ago where you had the local guy that was, your carpenter, the auto shop repair dude, that's gone now. It's big chain takes care of everything, so it's big corporate, big money, big Wall Street. And so Don's correct in saying, I mean, America as we know it is dead. And we just haven't, no one's announced it, but it happened somewhere in the last 20 years.
I have a perspective on that. When I was growing up, when my brother and sister were born in 51 and 55, America was more uniform. People were loyal to the government, their belief system, and people had a uniform code of ethics as far as like going to church, loving their neighbor, helping people out. Then the Vietnam War hit, and there was chaos in my generation. I was eight in 68, and I was 15 in 75, not to mention three of our top leaders were murdered in cold blood, JFK, RFK, and MLK. That brought a watershed of enlightenment, just like that Johnny Lyman said, that pain and suffering bring that kind of moment of truth. Then we went through the Reagan years, which was basically the theme song of acquire, 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 get rich through Wall Street. And I'm not knocking Reagan. He was a nice guy, but he let the mentally ill out in the streets. Then there was the crack thing that some people believe might have been planned by the government. There was the crack epidemic where all the people losing custody of their kids tripled in Los Angeles and other places. And then in the 90s, we had the Gulf War and other types of chaos. And I think the biggest problem with America now is split values. We have the conservative Christians who are so far to the right and rigid that they're not compassionate. And then we have people who are, like the gay movement where people, they just want social justice and compassion, but they're rejected because a lot of people think it's a sin. And it's just like, there's just so many pools of different thoughts that nobody can come together anymore. So that's just like my basic 40-year summary of America.
Well, I like to look at longer periods of time. Not that there's anything wrong with short term, but I like to look at big picture. I have a theory that basically every 50 to 100 years you have in a country like America, chaos to where it could go either way. We had the Civil War, and we had World War II. We had our civil rights in the 60s. We had all these different things. So about every 40 or 50 years, people are kind of ready to like, do we have anarchy? Do we ride in the streets? And I think one of the differences, there has been, at least in the past, some kind of fundamental concept or belief in America, in American principles, in that you could voice and stand up and be heard.
And I think we've kind of lost that. And by that, I mean, again, 100 years ago, you had a lot of independent people that believed in, you know, your dad would have his own business. My dad had his own drapery shop, and so he would provide curtains and things like that. And he had a successful business for about 5 years. And then down the street, or about a mile away, a big mall opened up, and everyone started going to the mall, and he went out of business. And it was kind of symbolic of, you know, the little man got squeezed by the big company, the big corporation, and that's been kind of the path of America. And when I grew up, there's a whole bunch of independent small people with their own little businesses. And you still have that, but it's all like online stuff now. You don't really have the strong base of independent American spirit out there. And there's, you know, there's nothing to rally around right now except Walmart.
The thing, I was also going to say, even as tough as the Vietnam War was, and I know three people who died in that war, it just seemed like people were less suspicious, more loving, and there was a freer feeling being in America. Like the
Because they were on drugs.
No,
they were high.
Not true. Okay, so my brother's friends were. My brother's nickname was Toke, but the fact of the matter is that I wasn't, and I was happier. Like,
they were having sex in the streets, in communes, and it was free love.
No,
everything was groupie.
No, that was the fringe society. Not they weren't doing it in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, unless they had 5 or 6 beers.
But Dylan was doing it, right? He was the leader. Hendrix, Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison, the Beatles, right? Everyone was partying and finding their own way.
Wait a minute. Bob Dylan was married with 5 children. I don't think he was fucking anybody he could find.
Well, maybe
Bob
not Dylan,
Dylan,
but the most of the bands of that time were.
Bob Dylan was doing it too, damn it. Come on.
No, he wasn't. Don't destroy my boy.
Don't destroy your image of your boy.
You're saying he was firing off at his range at home?
Oh, man.
The only thing he was making love to was black gospel singers, and that was in the 80s.
And they sure taught him very well, too.
He actually has a half-black child, by the way.
So there you go. Bob Dylan is not necessarily your...
That was after his divorce. Season. Hello.
That's all right. Why do you think he probably got a divorce? Hello. But for the most part, you know.
After his divorce.
Why do you think he got his divorce?
What led to the divorce?
What led to the divorce?
The question is Don, what are you going to do tonight in Vegas? Are you going to behave?
That depends.
He might be playing his favorite song, the Hokey Pokey.
I mean, I'll be taking care of business.
And business is good.
Business
the luxury
is good.
Suite.
No. not quite
that. What is that supposed to mean?
No, they're not luxury. Nothing luxurious.
The woman or the hotel?
The hotel.
Okay,
the woman's
can we
luxurious enough. That's
luxurious. Don's got my vote. Don has my vote. He's got it figured out.
Guess who's going to run. Go ahead.
I would never go against God and not do what he demanded me to, and that was to propagate. I would never, ever keep my sperm to myself.
Right, no hostages there.
No. So that's the unfortunate thing is that it is against, that's what the religion believes, that's against the principles of God. And that's what I have the biggest problem with religion in general and the Catholic religion in particular. I went to school. I was very close to Catholics. They love it when they, you know, they love their God, but they don't understand Him. And that's something that I learned through my theology, theological and philosophical teachings. So this is very, very difficult to follow a religion or a precept that is completely illogical and goes against God's wishes. And that's what the Catholic, some of those man-made doctrine do. Now, I mean, of course, they believe heavily in hell. I have a problem with that concept in the way that it's portrayed, even though I do understand it.
Yeah.
God is a loving God.
Well, Don is actually wrong. However, we have to forgive him because God is all forgiving. No, I'm kidding. I will say to a point, I kind of agree with Don in some matters in the sense of I'm kind of a Christian starting to apply almost atheistic concepts. And I know that sounds like a contradiction. But by that, I mean a very literalist Christian believes God is controlling and doing everything every second. You know, God told me this, God told me that. Everyone I meet is God, you know, is appointed, and that's maybe true. But I kind of take a step back and go, actually, to me, God's like the Supreme Court. He judges you at the end of your life, and it's a special appointment. But for the day-to-day stuff, if you have a ticket, you go to traffic court. If you have a divorce, you go to family law. You don't show up at Supreme Court and go, God, I want you to take care of this stuff. He's like, wrong court. I'm not going to take care of this stuff. And it's as simple as the walls on my wall do not change unless I paint them. God doesn't sweep my floors. He doesn't lift a spoon to my mouth. He's never appeared to me physically and said, hi, I'm God. This is the deal. I've got the book. I've got the spirit in me. I kind of sense the flow of how he operates, but I'm still, in a way, kind of skeptical to how Christians envision God every day, directing every little, you know, blink of the eye.
You know, I was listening to our show from Friday night, and we were talking about God's providence. Now,
yes.
God may not go into the voting booth and alter the vote so I could win. But there is, and God may, like you said, God may not be concerned over every detail and category of our life, but I do think God can move mountains, and whether it's my ego that wants me to win or something else, I'm just saying that things can change.
Right, but well, let me pose this question.
God healed my car 2 weeks ago. Right. The ignition switch was broken. Now there's no problem with it at all.
Two times in my life, I've specifically laid hands on my car when it would not work after a half hour of doing everything mechanical that I knew, where I was satisfied to the point there was no possible resolution. I laid hands on my car, and twice they would start for no reasonable explanation. So I'm a big believer in faith. But let me also answer or respond to your question. You talked about God moving mountains. We have YouTube and the internet. I have yet to see anyone literally walk up to a mountain and say, be moved, and it physically got cast into the sea. I've never seen anyone walk on water on YouTube. I've never seen anyone multiply fish and loaves. Do I believe Jesus did it? You bet I do. Do you think that I believe that God can do that with a snap of the fingers? He created the whole universe. It's not a problem for him. I'm just saying that I think we don't understand the dimension of where God's at or his plan and purpose. I just think at this particular moment, either he doesn't want us to walk on water or we just have no faith to believe it because it's not happening out there. If you have one example of it, I'd love to see it. On video. Maybe God just doesn't like to do things on video. I don't know.
Well,
it won't be safe anymore, right?
You weren't in Pompeii, Italy about 14 centuries ago when the whole city came crumbling down.
That's true. I like that.
And you
but
weren't
did
in,
it, did
you weren't
stand out in front of it?
You weren't in Thailand during the tsunami when 100,000 people died in one day.
True, but did a person stand up on the coast and say, you know, bring the rain, you know, bring the I'm just saying these are natural events that God's put into motion. I'm just saying the specifics of literally saying and speaking things into being, we're not either operating where we should or otherwise it's not allotted to us to do at this particular moment. I don't know why.
Well,
I'm just
Barack
not seeing
Obama
it.
Barack Obama winning the presidency was an act of God.
Or of the devil.
I can hear the Republicans stewing over that last statement.
Well, if you look at his stand...
I can hear God fearing people they're saying what John just said. Or the devil.
The thing is, Barack has made so many different unchristian or unbiblical decisions, or at least closed his eyes and allowed unbiblical decisions to happen, that no, I just don't envision him as God's messenger at this day.
How about, is it because he turned the White House into the Rainbow Coalition?
That's a start.
That's a start.
That's a sign.
I still think he's trying. I didn't say he was a messenger of God, but he's trying.
You know, he is trying, and a lot of people, I have to tell you, I'll give you an example. I know someone, a couple days ago, someone parked in their parking space, and, you know, they shouldn't have. It's a, you know, nice, exclusive community. Someone parked in their parking space. They got pissed off. They didn't need the extra parking space. It was just an inconvenience. And they railed for 2 hours trying to get the sheriff, the Santa Monica police, blah, 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 all these different factions to tow away the car. And it wasn't going to happen because you have to either own the car or the property management on personal property has to authorize it. Otherwise, it's auto theft, basically. The point being, no one would tow it. And this person is screaming at the top of their lungs, I want justice. You know, I pray that God will, you know, will judge them a million times over. And you're thinking, it's a parking space. The point is, there's delusional people, you know, Catholic Church, believing that God, you know, the priest shouldn't have sex. It's delusional. It's not scriptural.
John, I can guess who that person was, but I won't say it on the air.
I don't think we should, seeing that you value me having employment to pay my bills in the financial situation I'm at. Thank
just
you.
Like, just like you value my DNA test.
Yes. However, there's a different thing. People aren't currently employing you on your DNA test or paying you cash.
By the way, John, I have one of your eggs stored in a freezer genetic bank for our future child.
I think the container expired.
Oh, my God.
Don, what should we
talk
about? Okay, so far we've been talking 1 hour and 8 minutes. How long do you guys want to do the show?
That's on you. An hour and 15 and...
I say if you can't wrap it up in 1 hour, you know, then you're wasting people's time. I think the first hour is really good, and I think once you go past that, then it starts to dissolve into kind of random things that maybe we have to erase later on. But I'm good for another 10 minutes, and then I kind of have to, you know, my commitment is to the hour.
All right,
okay,
so...
So where would you follow the truth tonight, John?
I would follow the truth and take it to the bank as long as it's not a sperm bank.
Even one with a half an ovary that Jane is waiting for?
I have to tell you, I do have a couple sperm bank offers, and the problem kind of goes back to, could I handle this responsibility, you know, if the other person doesn't pitch in? And it's one of those things. I just don't want to have a little bastard kid running around yelling at, you know, with a picture of me on a T-shirt with a circle and a line through it.
That's exactly what it would be like, too. The T-shirt would look just like that, too.
Mine is
exactly.
Follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's a peasant farm in Russia during an era when the population is low.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay. But it doesn't say six per person.
Unless you're in Stalin's bedroom and he wants another child. Okay, Don,
that's probably where.
Don,
that's probably where the stat. That's probably where the stat came from. Stalin's women. But anyway, lead with your sperm. that.
Oh God.
Pretty much. No. That I mean, for the most part, we would.
He's speaking the truth.
We will not be here. You wouldn't be here, Jade, if it weren't for someone leading, some man just happened to be your father after the fact, didn't lead with his sperm. Everybody's here because they lead, the man leads with his sperm. The woman is the sixth rib. She's supposed to be right there with him, and the man leads with his sperm no matter where it is. If you have to be Moses and have or Abraham and have 40 kids, but different ladies, just make sure they're not underage. So
he speaks the truth. And you think about it, I'm spouting my views and opinions, and maybe a couple people hear it. Don, through the miracle of procreation, is instilling values and thoughts and concepts and ideologies that will live in his kids. And because he's the person who he is, he inspires them. And they will remember till the day they die and pass it on. You know, not all of it, but in their own version, they'll pass it on. So who's doing the work of God? Me or him?
I was conceived by Immaculate Conception. I'm the next prophetess after Malachi.
So your father's name is Conception? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Was Nolo the result of Immaculate Misconception?
Misconception, yeah. It's like, oh, your name is Fred. I thought you were Frida.
You know,
that was Barney.
Did you know there's people in the Latino culture named Concepcion as their first name?
Yes.
And if they're a single woman, it's Misconception.
Exactly.
Okay, I think this show is digressing just like America.
As I prophesied.
Signing off as Celine Celibacy.
No, America is not digressing. America is progressing. It's just not the same way that people in the last 200 years have thought of it as. This is progress.
Do you think it's becoming what it inevitably needs to be? Or no, it's the process. It is what it is. So it's in a way a particular destiny, and in a way it is kind of God's will?
Yes, both. I mean, for the most part, everything that is done is God's will, and God's will, to me anyway, is destiny. So I have no problem with both of those statements being true.
I kind of like in life to basically it's a series of problems, and it's just problem solving. You know, you're born, it's like, I need food. You know, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I need clothes. I need money, go find a job. And it's just a series of you meet someone, you think things are going to be better. It's like, oh, I got to make more money to support this person. Now this person has needs and concerns and thoughts, and I have to, you know, take care of them and my kids. And it's just like, it's just challenges and problems. And people that are efficient in solving problems have a happy marriage, I think. And people who are inefficient with it, their life is a mess. So that's kind of my conclusion on life. It's just solving problems. So when people come up to me with an illogical conclusion to the problem, I go, you know, you're not life. You're not helping life. You're the problem. You're chaos.
Exactly.
I think, you know, it doesn't matter how great our country is or how much it might be doomed. We still have work to do as individuals, and no one can ever take that away from us.
Hey, as much as they try, huh?
Well, I know you can always do good in the world, no matter where you are. That's what.
But
I'm
they're
saying.
Always trying to take. Yeah, but they're always trying to take. That's the,
I was
that's
just.
The
I watched
extract.
A lady on. You know, Brazil is fighting like mad to remove the president. There's protests in all parts of the country. And like this lady was saying, in Brazil tonight, there's corruption. This country has had corruption for years. But she said now it's just affecting home more because half the businesses are closing and the government's stealing our money. And we want our lives back. But
and then we're going down to an Olympics where our kids are going to come back sick.
By the way, about 7 years ago, I was buying various stocks, and I've done pretty well in the stock market, actually, lately. But one of the random kind of, like, I'll just take a stab at it. I bought some Brazilian real estate with one of the real estate developing companies because the outlook was that the next 10 years it was going to go boom, boom, boom. And basically, the last 7 years, it's gone kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
I hear
ya. I think I bought in at like $4 a share. It went up to $6 or so. I decided to hold on, and now I think it's like $1 a share right now. This is with Jafisa. It's kind of like their one of their top real estate commercial divisions, but I guess it's going belly up.
Well, John, you did okay. I mean, you tried. You just didn't know that there was going to be a big crisis in 08. So,
right.
I mean,
well, part of it, too, is what...
You can't foresee the future like that.
Well, the other thing I did, though, is I hedged my bet. I also bought a lot of Chevron, and so I bought some gas companies, Shabbat, on the East Coast. And everyone was saying solar. I bought just a little bit of solar. It went nowhere, even though Barack was promoting it, and the government actually financed and lost a ton of money in these solar companies because basically big oil rules. So I'm making money with Chevron. I'm making money with Ford. I'm making money with Philip Morris. Yes, I've invested in Satan because I know people aren't going to give up their nicotine. And boom, boom. Philip Morris going through the roof.
So are you saying some of your stocks are still good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the big picture, I'm up, you know, 30-40%. But you can't hit winners on every shot. You know, you have to take risk. And like I say, Brazil was... The other one I invested in was this company that does technology to clean rooms of bed bugs. And I've seen so many bed bugs in L.A., and it's such a national problem, I figure that technology would make a lot of money. And it hasn't yet. So, you know, it's two losers and five winners.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you never mentioned the victories up until tonight.
I know. I have to keep my successes quiet or people will count upon them.
By the way, I have an Aramaic Bible book. Could you invest
$2,000? Sold.
Oh, I sent you $10 rebate back from PayPal today. Did you notice that?
Baby steps. I saw your text. I actually have to go and claim my prize.
Well, the reason why I have a reason, but I can't tell you on the air. So, but you guys.
Can I invest it? Can I invest it in Philip Morris?
You can buy yourself two tacos in the freezer aisle. Okay. Ooh. Or maybe two Marie Callender frozen dinners.
I may deposit it in a sperm bank.
I can't have the baby now.
Bastard taco. Bastard taco. Okay. That'd be a seller. That'd be a hit.
Yeah.
Bastard taco.
Wow.
Guess what we would name our child, John? We would name our child Yoham.
Yoham. That's pretty good, Jane.
Okay, well, John, what's your final thoughts? Me and John already went.
I thought I did too, but I'll just travel lightly. Well, I've been traveling lightly down here in Vegas. We really learn how to, over time, you learn how to act with as little nonsense as possible. Make sure that you reuse clothes and that you keep your suits separate. So that's
thank you for the life skills advice. And keep six,
yes.
Keep 1 gallon of bottled water in the trunk.
And keep your pistol loaded at all times.
No weapon.
In a clean barrel.
No, but God is my right man, right hand man. So he wants.
How about if you're passing through Ferguson? Should you keep a gun loaded?
My tongue is my sword.
And he uses it regularly.
I use it very, very well. I'm a master.
Okay. Oh, Don, I found one of your lobbyist pictures in a suit online, so I downloaded it for our show.
That's fine, no problem.
Okay, well, see you guys. I have to go. I'm at work. Cha-chao.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, don't get fired.
Okay,
no,
take it easy,
exactly.
Y'all. Bye.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
I sure
goodbye,
will.
Goodbye, man.